Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That'll be the NXT champion. That'll be fine. That's it's a good booking, that. They'll like that. That'll get over.
Right on that Hoover, that one!
Yuckity-yuck, McMannequin.
The British Bulldog is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before D-Mabo!
Here comes the Jackknife!
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation!
Welcome! Everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review, as the other Cultaholic lads reflect on an in-your-house pay-per-view with Ted DiBiase waiting in the wings. We are here via our Ica Pro Power DeLorean, heading towards an in-your-house pay-per-view with Ted DiBiase waiting in the wings. Oh, that's weird. Who'd be we? I'd be Fake Geordie, radio presenter with that portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion, the advocate for Pablo, Tom Campbell. I'm with the bear in the big blue bar cage. He is the head pen of Cultaholic, the man who does not require a pencil. He gets it right every time. His name is Justin Henry, and he is off of the America.
Well, the difference is, instead of having Grimes versus Knight in 2021, we have a night that is full of crime.
Yay! It's true. It's so true. Before we get into 1995, let's talk 2021 in your house. I thought it was excellent. I thought it ticked so many boxes for us.
I mean, I'm actually very concerned because, you know, everyone's been saying, AEW's turning into TNA because, you know, they're hiring all these people. I don't know, man. I watched a show where Killer Kross, the Rascals, and Eli Drake all came away as champions. So it's like, I don't know, man. And I see Johnny Impact on Raw, and you got AJ Styles on Raw. And I don't know. Like, remember last year on the one SmackDown where you had AJ Styles and Abyss, talking crap about Jeff Hardy in front of an Orlando venue with no paying crowd? They stole that from TNA.
Oh my God. That's true. Oh, TNA clearly is. It has more involvement in the fabric of wrestling than we probably give it credit for.
Oh, absolutely. Dixie's winning.
Dixie's winning every time. Winning every single time. But I loved In Your House last night, or Monday night, just gone. I loved it. I thought the same company that made that garbage that was SmackDown Throwdown does this. Where, like, it's true to form. It is a gorgeous homage. It includes not just big pastiches that everyone would get, but little nudges and winks to those long-suffering people. Mate, you popped. I know you did. I heard you when Todd Pettingill accidentally called Mackenzie Mitchell Stephanie Wyand.
I don't know if Mackenzie should be offended or not.
And then Todd just burying Stephanie. Why not? We had no chemistry anyway. So harsh. Oh. So harsh.
At least Todd has a sense of humor about it.
He certainly does. I think to have that goatee, you have to. And there was the bit with karate fighters when him and Dexter Lumis playing karate. And also just like it's the little things like that video at the start, which had all the old stock music that they used for the shows, like, with Todd Pettingill running down with the power of little cliches and wordplay, what each match means. Oh, it was so good. They nailed it. So good.
I will say, we on the show make fun of Pettingill a lot for his sophomore humor, the way he laughs at his own dad puns, mm-hmm. for being a little overbearing at times. But I got to say, you compare him to the homogenized robots you see today that just spout jargon and they spout company-approved witticisms. Todd could actually have a personality. And I actually do appreciate in hindsight just seeing, like, he annoys me. Don't get me wrong. He still annoys me. But, like, when Todd would do, like, a serious voiceover for something, he came off natural. He got the exposition over what you needed to know. Like, I realize this is probably different than philosophy then versus philosophy now. But, I look at that and I'm like, why can't you have that today? Where you just have someone that sounds like a human being.
It's that homogenization that they've got at the moment. And I think with shows like this within your house, you can tell that the brakes are off a little bit and it's a little bit more free and it's a bit more, and they embrace the tongue in cheek nature of it. And oh, it was just great. It was just great. And it was actually really away from the aesthetic. It was a really solid wrestling show as well. Like a moving, it wasn't just the aesthetic. There was some great stuff in there as well. There was a great main event and all that jazz. But Todd was a deep joy, as was the brief appearance of Doc Hendricks in the voiceover booth. Just a good night had by all, wasn't it? It was just a good night had by all.
I've actually heard mixed reviews for it because, you know, it's being compared to the takeovers of the past, which I guess isn't fair.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was excellent. I know there's a lot of people that have compared it to like Takeover Brooklyn, Takeover New Orleans, and stuff like that. And those are big takeovers to compare them to. This kind of feels. Do you know what? In a way, it's the greatest. It pays the greatest respect to it in your house, in the sense that it wasn't a massive pay per view. It was a shorter pay per view that kind of builds to a bigger one. So in a way, that was an even greater tribute to In Your House than anything else.
That's another way of saying I was let down from my expectations because now we're in the In Your House era.
Yeah, it's that.
Which if you're in the In Your House era, you shouldn't have expectations in the first place.
Which we are going to find out as we get into Monday Night Raw in 1995. This is your first time with us, Justin Henry, our head pen over in America, was a massive wrestling fan during this point, hanging on in there. I drifted off at this point as a fan. It was during the lapsed era of my life. So we're going through week by week and just absorbing these characters and that are coming through in a really turbulent time for WWF, as proved in this week's Wrestling Observer newsletter. And some of this, we joke about how like, oh, it was an In Your House on Sunday. Let's talk about an In Your House in 95. Some of this rings very true to what WWF is going through at the moment. We've got company cutbacks this week in 1995. Major changes being made to the way that WWF does television. They're moving from taping 3 weeks at a time to four. The Wrestling Challenge is being dropped in the autumn, and they're going to change up the Action Zone as a result of that, because Action Zone always played clips from there. Also, a major week-long house cleaning event has been taking place at WWF HQ. Some big key people within the promotion, in the PR department and in the pay-per-view department, have gone. Big wigs like Steve Plamenta, Rex Lardner, and Skip Desjardins. Now, these names may not mean much to fans of this day, but these are kind of comparable to some of those big behind-the-scenes names that got let go just a few weeks ago, aren't they?
I believe Steve Plamenta was the one who he was sort of like the spokesman that had to spin things publicly for the company. And in the early 90s, he was a very busy man.
Just imagine having to spin all of this. Now, the WWF hasn't released any statement about the cutbacks. Some say that these are happening because Titan have a massive amount of legal bills and real estate costs that they're currently dealing with. And the downturn of the wrestling industry is just putting pressure on them to do that. Linda McMahon has sent out a business statement just the other day, just ahead of this episode of Raw, stressing a need to constantly adapt to marketplace change. Talking about doing... It's good, isn't it?
Oh, they've sure as hell been doing that the last couple of years.
They really have, haven't they? They are so on the pulse.
They have got their finger all on it. She talks about doing merchandising through online services, licensing and international television deals, exceeding projections. The first In Your House exceeded internal projections, so they're very happy with that, but they've got to save some
money. What were the projections?
I think three people watching. I think it got five. I think they're over the moon with that one. And here's the funny thing, right? So there's all these things going on, all these big changes going on. They've just bought a blimp.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's cost them. How much was the blimp, do you reckon, Justin? How much do you reckon was the new WWF blimp?
So wait, they own the blimp outright. Obviously, they have to because it has all the branding on it.
Mm-hmm.
600,000.
Wow. I mean, I'm glad you didn't buy the blimp because they didn't spend that much, thankfully. Quarter of a million. $250,000. I mean, still, for a company that's on its arse, they're still investing in a blimp, which is...
Which one? See, that explains why they're promoting the blimp. Like, go see the blimp when you're at a Red Sox game. I'm going to watch the Red Sox game.
No, look at the blimp!
Ignore Movon hitting a home run.
They've just spent a lot of money on this. But of all the moving and the shaking within the industry this week, there is one person that is leaving the business. And it brings a tear to my eye to tell you that the Furthermore era is at an end, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
As it was on Wednesday this week that President Jack Tunney resigned from the WWF. In the storyline world, that is. Well, it was this past Wednesday. Tunney and Billy Red Lions are leaving the Toronto office. They're no longer affiliated with the WWF. And wanting to do more to aggressively promote and build other avenues of business, such as merchandising throughout Canada. So that big frontage in that house in Canada is being ripped down. WWE Toronto's closing. What a shame.
Well, they wanted to... At this point, I mean, Vince promotes everything himself anyway, so Tony was kind of just... It was a loyalty thing for years when they sold... When he allowed Vince to buy out Toronto and Jack Tunney's made figurehead as a result. So now it's kind of just, it's superfluous to have him at this point.
What a shame. Hey. But what was your what is a favorite Jack Tunney memory for you?
Oh, God. I got to think now. It's got to be the time that we didn't see this on as part of our watch alongs, but earlier in 95, he appeared in the commercial for WrestleMania 11. And it's like all the celebrities are going to be saying Pamela Anderson, Nick DeToro, and singing the national anthem. Me and then he starts singing. Oh, and it cut him off.
Oh,
I didn't even know that till this year that had happened. That's someone posted on Twitter.
That's an amazing. I wish we'd seen that when we were watching WrestleMania 11.
I know. Is it?
What a treat! What a treat for me. I remember like before we did pre-watch along times when. It was during the nonsense between Hogan and Warrior and the WWF title, and Jack Tunney coming out to sort of clear the air with it during the Rumble, I think it was. And it was the first time we kind of came close to getting a heel authority figure because he was booed quite heavily. Jack Tunney was.
Well, he was
on the.
You mean Jack on the Take Tunney?
On the Take Tunney, but this is like the early like the like they I won't say these are like the seeds being planted because this would be a plant that would grow and then die, and it would be later where they'd resow the ground that we get plants that grow, but potentially nearly an early heel authority figure in Jack Tunney, and we wish him well going forward. Whilst things are rubbish in the WWF, things are looking quite exciting in WCW. They're getting ready for their first ever Monday night TV show. Get this, Justin. As of this Wrestling Observer, there was rumour circulating that the first show on the 4th of September could emanate from the Paramount in Madison Square Garden.
I'm sure Bishop would have loved to do that.
Oh, because he'd have been desperate to do that. I think he'd have struck any deal to get to do it at the Paramount in MSG. Just to stick it to Vince. Bit of history this week as well. Lee Marshall and Mike Tenay both had tryouts on commentary.
Well, one of them I could see getting hired, but how did Lee get a job? With all due respect to the late Lee Marshall, who did voice Tony the Tiger for many years in the Frosted Flakes commercials.
He certainly
had that going for him.
Yeah. I didn't realize there were... Like, obviously, you know there's multiple people, because I always knew Tony the Tiger as a guy called Tom Clark Hill. I didn't realize that Lee Marshall was also Tony the Tiger.
I think the more famous one was Thurl Ravenscroft, who was in The Grinch. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Really? Is that him too?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think he was the most prolific, actually, but I think Lee took over from him.
The more you know. But yeah, Lee Marshall never... He was a... Oh, I'm being really polite here. He wasn't right for that show, was he? He wasn't.
No, he was... he was very... Had a good voice, but he was just such a basic announcer. It wasn't really... Like, he brought nothing to the show, really.
Hmm. Reports are that either of them could end up on the Monday night show. It's almost a certainty, though, that Eric Bischoff will be the host of the show.
Well, we didn't get Tanae. We didn't get Lee Marshall. But we did get another outsider who came in and made his mark on color commentary on Monday Night Show.
Oh, we flipping well did. We'll get to them in a little bit. One more bit of news. ECW star Sabu is in London this week. And then normally, you know, American wrestlers doing a tour isn't massively noteworthy. But this one is because it was at a show in the UK. It was a show in London, actually, which saw Sabu face a wrestler based out of the UK called the Dirt Bike Kid. And
I know Dirt Bike Kid.
You know Dirt Bike Kid? The Dirt Bike Kids are on me. A really strong performer and one that kind of time has forgotten about a little bit. But on this night, on the 7th of July, Sabu and the Dirt Bike Kid had a match considered 4.25 stars by Dave Meltzer. An unassuming match in front of 225 people.
Not Sabu in 95. Dirt Bike Kid was kind of big in his day, although he, I believe, gained more notoriety for an incident with Great Sasuke a few years after this.
That is true. It was a spicy little story about that coming up down the road. Chance of ECW and We Want Blood throughout this match. Also, fans were handing the wrestlers frying pans to use as objects.
See? Philly starts a trend, the world follows.
Absolutely. You guys walked so we could run.
Absolutely.
And what makes this amazing as well, and Dave says this, is because ECW at this point, there's no TV channel in the UK carrying ECW, so this has come on the power of tape trading.
Tape trading was such a huge deal in those days. Now you just go on YouTube or a streaming service and whatever you want is there. It's amazing.
Don't know you were born honestly. Shakes fist at cloud. Those are the news items from this week. Justin Henry is going to talk us through this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. Where and when are we for this week's Raw, Justin Henry?
This episode aired Monday, July 10th, 1995. It was taped 2 weeks earlier in the sprawling metropolitan that is Danville, Pennsylvania.
Danville! Get in. Love to see us back in Danville.
So...
Do we have 2 more weeks in Danville? Is everything up till in your house coming out of straight out of Danville?
Yes, straight out of Danville. So, you know when you go to a store and you buy a pack of what you call crisps, potato chips here in America?
I do indeed.
It's like this big bag about yay high. And it's you're like I'm gonna eat this whole thing of chips today because I'm so hungry. And you open up and you realize that maybe 45% of the bag is filled with chips and the rest of it is air.
Yep.
That's what this show is. they had to take 4 weeks of TV, so they padded the hell out of this show with video packages and exposition, and they had to get the 46 minutes of non-commercial products, so I'd say maybe about 32 minutes of the show is potent in some way.
You said before we started, I think it's so appropriate, we have to wade through a lot of packing material this week.
A lot of styrofoam, yes.
A lot of styrofoam. If you're expecting a long 3-hour tour de force podcast like the Cultaholic Wrestling podcast this week, you might be very disappointed because there's very filler heavy. So we will be filler heavy ourselves, I'm sure.
Well, we get right to it with a video package hyping up Diesel versus Psycho Sid. This thing went on for 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Now, usually a typical opening video is maybe 40 seconds at the most. You get your point across, you hype up what you're going to see, and then you hit the intro. No. this is almost 3 minutes of, like, God damn it, we have to stall. So it's basically just building up Sid as being powerful and great, but he's afraid of Diesel, and he runs away a lot. And we get, like, the entire feud basically just mapped out in this little video. Tonight we have a Sid interview. He assures us he's not afraid. He's a heel, so that's a dubious statement. 2 minutes and 48 seconds. I just summed it up for you.
It was the video package equivalent of a meeting that could have been an email. Mm-hmm. Lot of filler. They, you can tell already this week they're stretching it. They're stretching it. Sid, like, the Sid thing is so... I don't like the way they're pushing Sid in the sense that... I mean, at least at this in this video package, Vince gives Sid some credit by saying, hey, he's tough, except when someone's the same size as him, and then he becomes a coward. Like, oh, you came so close to putting Sid over as a really good bloke. So close.
Like, hang on, let me pull my wallet out right now and get the money for this pay-per-view, and then just... and knowing all the...
Take my money. I want to see a coward fight the champion.
Yeah, I can't imagine Dana White building up a fight this way.
No, I mean, that's it as well with these packages. You have to go, are they really selling us on the experience of this wrestling show? Normally they're not.
Jose Aldo, he's a coward who won't face Conor McGregor. he won't fight back to all of his barbs when Conor makes them, so he must be scared. Spend $50 and to watch him fight.
Come watch this man, this scared man, get beaten up. If it's a manager, I kind of get, like, you want to pay for the manager to get his comeuppance. But not when it's the main champion. You know, you want a little bit of jeopardy in there.
It's like, what's this? Dana White short of Brock Lesnar on pay, and now Brock wants to fight him? Well, now I'd pay for that.
Yeah, that's a different. I'm not saying
Dana's ever done that, but I'm saying theoretically, Dana versus one of his, someone like Brock would be hilarious.
It'd be bloody brilliant, mate. Bloody brilliant.
You hooked me. So we go to ringside. Vince tells us that the crowd is excited to see Savio. Okay, sure.
Salty, salty Justin. Yeah, okay.
Well, the heat machine's happy. The crowd's sweetener.
You were as salty as Dave then on the takeover media call on Thursday.
Dave's not salty. He's just... He doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Oh, he was a bit salty because he asked Triple H about, like, call-ups and, like, why call-ups don't always do well. And Triple H compared people getting called up in WWE to people getting called up to the NFL. And it was such bullshit. Like, yeah, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah, you know, like that time that Eli Manning got given a postman gimmick when he got called up. Like, you couldn't compare the two. So Triple H went on this big old tangent. He was really rambly and ranty and angry. And then there was a long pause and Dave Meltzer just goes, okay. Like the shortest he's ever been, the most concise Dave has ever been. And it made me roar to see him go, okay.
I feel like that media call is going to go down in history.
He was so salty. Triple H was. He was in a foul mood. It was all the fans' fault. We should all just stop looking at spoilers and journalist websites. And if we don't like it, we shouldn't watch it. And we've all the best women wrestlers are here. And if they're not, they want to be here. And it's just, mate, did you not have your dinner before you started? Because I normally get like that if I'm either tired or hungry. And I wonder whether he just didn't have time to have his dinner and he was just in a bad mood.
I feel like a future Brian Zane 25-minute video on the downfall of NXT is going to feature that part very heavily.
Yes.
Whether it's in 5 years or whenever the hell that video comes out.
I think very much it will. I think it very, very much will.
That was just, like, I didn't even listen to the call, but I was reading what had happened. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. And, like, I'm waiting for like by the hit. By the end, him to just snap and hit somebody with a sledgehammer. But thankfully, you know, better common sense prevailed.
See, if I'd been on the call, right, I don't know whether the devil would have got the better of me. And because he's pissed off already. He's in a bad mood already. So that'd be the time where you go, so what's happening with Keith Lee then? you just go, Velveteen Dream, talk about it. You think, well, you're angry anyway, so let's just go. Why'd you sack all those good wrestlers?
I would have gone a different tack. Like, what was the deal with those white boots you wore with the black trunks a few years ago? Just you think that was a good combination?
I'd have asked him if he wanted to buy a second-hand lawnmower.
A sleeper is a secondary finisher in 2002? Really?
So you feud with Carly over the summer. Did we think that would make money, or was that just you showing off about how strong and brilliant you are? Discuss.
Chaperone 2, you in? Are there any other Modern Family and Simpsons cast members you can do a movie with?
Is it true that the only reason that people think that you were looking to buy a Japanese Federation is because when somebody rang you, they said, "Do you want to? Which Japanese Federation do you want to buy? Do you want to buy any of them?" And you answered, "No." Is
that... Oh, God.
No, we misinterpreted what you said. Noah. No, I didn't. I said Noah. See, you said it again. That's up there with Mike Bassett, England manager, who writes all his football players on a cigarette packet and hands it to the woman to sign them. And then these two old boys turn up and they go, "That's Stuart Benson. That's Jonathan Hedges." They were names on the packet. And he said, "Where on this cigarette packet does it say Benson and Hedges?" That was the name of the cigarettes, obviously. It's that. Just a fun little line from Mike Bassett, England manager. Don't know what context it has. The match is tonight on on Raw. Can I give some love to the deliciously pixelated match graphics that they use on a few of these?
Oh, it's certainly 1995. It's not exactly state of the art, even for 1995.
It's gorgeous. MS Paint, Windows 95 edition.
It's slapped together the last minute, apparently. We got Allied Powers versus Tatanka and Henry Godwin, which we hyped up last week as being something that people would have theoretically want to watch, allegedly.
Oh, yeah, because Henry Godwin got subbed in. That was the big news coming out of the last one. Was like, oh, Henry Godwin's in the match. Well, I wasn't going to watch next week, but flipping heck, I am now.
Stop the press. They pulled Bundy out.
Bundy is still on the books, by the way. He's just not there at the moment. But he's still on the books.
Oh, you need Bundy. It's 1995. He was a hot commodity. He's got a big Marriage Children guest spot coming up this fall.
That's going to make all the money.
Where Bud wears a bumblebee costume and Bundy beats him up. So, opening match here. It's the best match of the show by far, I believe. The Roadie versus Thunderfoot Jerry Flynn.
Yes!
In a match that could have very well happened in 2001 if WCW had lived and they did sign Jesse James.
Jerry Flynn. I look how he never once backed on changing his name, thinking there's already a Jerry Lynn in the business. Nope, I'm sticking to my guns. I was here first. I'm Jerry Flynn.
If your name was Jerry Flynn, would you change your name? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't at all. I wouldn't at all.
It's very Kenny Powers-esque.
But this is the beginning of a nice little run for him, I do believe, as an enhancement lad for the WWF. Mm-hmm. He's going to lose to some lovely people on the show over the next couple of months.
Case in point here, we got Thunderfoot versus Shaky Knee.
Flynn's good, though, isn't he? Flynn's good.
Oh, he is. So what we got here, this is we're legitimizing Roadie because we have a big angle coming up in 2 weeks, but ultimately, well, we'll see what happens there. But we're trying to legitimize the Roadie. He's more than just a lackey for Jarrett. First, we're going to establish that he can wrestle. Well, he's an Armstrong, so if you knew that already, then you know he can wrestle. So we get this great arm twist savate kick from Flynn, which is why they call him Thunderfoot. Dahl gets in some breakdancing, which was out of style even then. We get an enzugiri attempt, which Dahl ducks and implies a half crab. And I'm like, this is a jobber match? I realize Armstrong's put guys over and make them look good. Like, that's their nature. But Flynn's getting a lot of offense here. And then just to date this show, Jerry Lawler makes a reference to Hugh Grant.
Way now. This was quite the incident back in the day.
I mean, all told, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened in the world.
But I think because Hugh Grant was such a hot commodity at this point,
It was it was quite a shocking thing. So if you don't know the story, Hugh Grant was arrested along with Divine Brown. They they caught the attention of a policeman when they were pressing the brake pedal of the BMW with his foot. They caused the brake light to flash in the car. Turns out they were having a little bit of a in the car in public. Rude. They were charged with lewd conduct, pleaded no contest on September the 6th, being ordered to attend an AIDS class and perform 5 days community service. Divine Brown was fined $1,150 for parole violations, sentenced to 180 days in jail. Hugh Grant pleaded no contest. He was fined $1,180, placed on 2 years summary probation, ordered to complete an AIDS education program as well.
I mean, it sounds really bad, all this punishment and such, but it didn't hurt his career any at all. In fact, I dare say it kind of enhanced it. That's kind of like, it's having a little fun there. And
yeah, it was in a way like stuff like that. It kind of, it over here, it earned him a weird little extra bit of respect from people because he was just this this sort of floppy haired guy that appeared in all the rom coms, as far as all the blokes were concerned, like Four Weddings and a Funeral and all that.
He was the awkward guy that always found himself in situations that, you know, he'd rather not be in.
Yeah.
And then he's in one in real life. and it's a rather extreme one.
Oh, that's how Hugh Grant acts.
I'm Matthew.
How you doing, pal? It's Matthew Hugh Grant. What? That's a conversation we never knew we'd have. But over here, like, he got a little bit of a, hey, go on, lad. Like, a bit of a rep because he was suddenly a lot cooler to a whole new bunch of people because he'd been caught getting it on with Divine Brown in a car. It was like, hey, go on, you. We just thought you were just, you know, a bit of a rom-com lad. Get in, lad.
I believe the incident actually played a role in Jay Leno overtaking David Letterman in popularity in this country. Because Leno had Hugh Grant on for an interview not long after that. So, of course, everybody knows that, like, they got to ask the questions. You know, this is going to be – this is a heavily hyped interview. And if I remember right, as soon as Hugh sat down, Jay goes, what the hell were you thinking? and got a big applause. Like, as soon as the interview started.
I admire him just going straight into it and just owning it immediately.
Yeah, it was a thing that happened. And Divine Brown actually did show up in ECW a year after this.
Of course she did. Yeah, that's a good shout for ECW to get her in.
Steve Richards tried to solicit her services, so she took his money and smashed him right in the face with it. In a backstage vignette.
Ah, so it's nice to hear Hugh Grant getting a nod, making the show seem current and topical.
Well, we got to go back to New Generation WF here, so enough fun. on this match for an enhancement talent match, was really inspired.
Yeah.
It's a shockingly good match. It ends with Jerry Flynn trying for a hurricane run and dog countering with a power bomb. Rhodey pins him after that, and that's the match.
Decent.
And then Vince, master of subtlety, lets us know that Jarrett is stealing the Rhodey spotlight. It's like I knew where the angle was going because I knew it in hindsight, but God, they really poured it on thick there, didn't they?
Vince has this thing, doesn't he, where he just doesn't like to let things happen on the subtle. Like, he feels like he has to beat it over people's heads that this is what's happening. And sometimes it's a case of just letting stuff breathe and letting us draw our own, trusting us as an audience to connect the dots a little bit rather than leaning over our shoulder and drawing all the dots for him.
Well, I sense there's a big part of this audience that doesn't understand subtlety.
I think it does maybe, if you let them.
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. Now, they miss out on little details because they're so used to having everything be broad and everything be, you know, so explicit.
They do it so very rarely where they do just let a little angle breathe and they don't point it out. Like, I remember last year during the height of Bayley and Sasha as a tag team, and they did that. There's a video that played which was everybody talking about how brilliant Bayley is. And Sasha Banks did a bit where she said, Bayley's the greatest wrestler in the WWE and the greatest champion of all time. And then just ever so slightly for like a beat, she looks down the lens of the camera and smiles. And then it cuts away to something else. And it was never acknowledged. No one ever over-pointed it out. But I was like, yes, that's what we need. That little drop there. That's all I want. Just that little bit of a wink to the camera. Like, we know what's coming. It was perfect. It was so
I appreciate that too. And you're absolutely right. But you notice here, Jarrett didn't do anything to spur that comment from Vince.
No.
He just got in the ring and celebrated with him with his charge. That's all it was. And it's just like, you're trying to invent something that isn't there to fit your stated your personal purpose. And there's nothing to it.
If Vince had said nothing and we'd have seen Jarrett get into the ring, raise Rhodey's arm, and then do the dance in front of him, but say nothing, that would have told the story, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe Jarrett didn't do enough, so Vince felt compelled to keep the angle rolling.
I don't know whether he gave him enough time to do anything. But yeah, it is what it is. We know where it's going. We know what's happening.
Well, we can't move on from this because we get, for some reason, remember what I said about the potato chip bag?
Mm-hmm.
We get the 1993 Jeff Jarrett vignettes with, was it Buddy Lee or whoever it was, and him trying to get into Nashville. And then they play the entire music video again.
Of course they do.
We're 15 minutes into the show. We've had maybe about 3 minutes of new content. It's like, geez, Lou, this is padded to the hilt.
There's a lot of padding going on here. I did get to relive how good the Rip stuff was, though. So that was nice.
Oh, Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor. Like, I love it when someone like a celeb comes in and just throws themselves into it. They were just told, I feel like he was just told, can you please act like Jeff Jarrett's the biggest deal in country music? And he went, yeah, of course I can. And we got what we got. And it was superb. Like, he was so good. And that's all a celeb needs to do is something like that to make a WWE star feel special and connect. It was so good.
Yeah, it's, you see some celebrities, you know, just wait for the bag of money to be handed to them as soon as they're done talking. And here's Rip, just happy to be part of the show.
He's just happy to be there.
Wait, you know who I'm happy is there?
Who?
Davey Boy Smith cutting a promo.
Aren't we happy that two of the most uncomfortable talkers have found each other?
Yeah, Davey Boy Smith and Lex Luger, the Allied Powers. If ever two men needed a manager, it was them.
They're so big, but they look so scared.
So Luger's happy to have Bulldog watching his back. Bulldog keeps referring to Henry Gowan as Hogman. Which sounds like a porcine superhero. Hey, Hogman!
That's a good accent, that.
I've done Davey Boy's voice a few times over the years.
Can you hit us with it because I'm bizarre?
I know a lot about Royal Rumbles, and I'm going to win this Royal Rumble because I'm bizarre.
That's good. Don't mind Allied Powers as a concept, but sure. they just look so uncomfortable. They really like, do.
It should be a natural fit, these two.
Oh, it should be, shouldn't it?
But everything, like they have the costumes, they have the physiques, they have the credibility of being stars for years in the business, both of them. And yet, it still feels thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get what's missing here.
It's something about both of them.
I know, it just
isn't quite clicking.
I don't get it. It should work, but it doesn't.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Savio Vega versus Mike Corey.
This works.
It does.
No.
We got Barry Dodinsky, who should have been in your house last night.
Oh, that was the one thing that was missing, was Barry Dodinsky. I presume he's still with us.
I would presume too, but maybe we need him for AEW to plug their plug the John Moxley bitch AF shirt.
I love Dodinsky in a bitch AF. John!
Yeah, John, could you?
Barry Dodinsky in a bitch AF shirt, please, mate. Thank you. Also, Barry Dodinsky plugging some John Eiley merchandise.
Yeah, that would be... John should have his own shirt.
John should have his own shirt. Yeah, so Barry Dodinsky plugging some John Eiley merch for the wrestling. That would be lovely. Thank you.
Well, whatever merch that John draws Barry wearing, it's got to be better than the shirt he was plugging here.
The old, it's like Razor Ramon one.
It's a Razor Ramon t-shirt. It's like a squared photo over like a screensaver design. It is.
It's just the worst, isn't it? They're just, these t-shirts at the moment are so bad.
It's like, this shirt really says something. And that something is, we put no goddamn thought into this shirt whatsoever.
This shirt then, says something. What it says is, we've got nothing.
But then on the back of the shirt, there's a huge WWF logo with an asterisk next to it. What is that?
What does the asterisk say next to WWF?
Is it like, please don't sue us, panda people?
In fact, just for fun, at JRH Writing on Twitter, at Tom Campbell on Twitter, what does the asterisk on the back of the t-shirt actually mean? What's it signify? Is it caution may not contain wrestling?
Is it saying that this shirt is only one star?
The stars feature.
It's not a good shirt.
Thank God there's one star on there, because otherwise it would have been a Barry Dodinsky.
Oh, boo.
Thank you.
So Lola calls Dodinsky a lousy pitch man. He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
We learned that Razor and Savio will be facing Men on a Mission in your house too. That sounds like a match.
Some have described it as a match that is going to happen.
Savio beats up Curry while smiling, chops the hell out of him, and it finishes with a 3/4 Nelson drop.
Quite like the little roll up finish. That was good fun.
Savio Vega is when you're playing career mode on a video game and you get bored winning with your finisher all the time. So you start like, oh, I'll win with an abdominal stretch just to see what happens.
You just want to get it done. You just want to get through it. You've been playing it for an hour and you're trying to get a shot at the Intercontinental title and you're just blasting through it.
It's just like, okay, what is this now? And Mahishaw Cradle, yeah, sure. I'll pin Yokozuna with the Mahishaw Cradle. We get the Special Olympics video of the wrestlers taking part in it. And Vince uses that to segue into questioning Sid's courage. I swear that was the thing that happened.
Of course he does.
Like, I get that you want to make deaf segues. You like, we use like commercials and stuff. And that, but geez, that was. I don't know if I'd be using that as part of an angle in any form.
It's just desperate to get him over as a coward for some weird reason.
And so we get the In Your House ad where Razor Ramon shows up to intern Adam's house. Of George and Adam pseudo fame.
Is that who it is?
That's who it looked like. I mean, how many fire redheads do they have that look like him that appear in company commercials? That's got to be him.
If a man turned up at your house with no shirt, with a shirt with a vest on, showing his nipples, and just said, hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, would you let them in?
Well, considering he's 6'6", I probably just do whatever he said. Unless he punched away through my front door. So then Man Mountain Rock shows up. Some women show up. Ray Rougeau is there announcing this whole mess. Then Bob Backlund's there. This is, I guess, a big house party. The mother was a wet blanket. Like, why are you stop making so much noise and all that. And it's... This is definitely a 95 WWF ad.
It is very much a 95 WWF. It looks like the house from In Your House. Like the one they gave away.
There's like no furniture in it.
It looked very plain. Looked very empty. Looked a bit sad, actually. Like either they just moved in or they're just moving out. Or they were squatting.
They had lost their... We're squatting, but we can afford In Your House. Hey, it's only $15.
Hey, it's okay, Mom. It's only $15. FBI, open up!
Maybe they're pirating it.
We've got you surrounded. I'm watching In Your House, man.
That's why Ray Russo is there to fight off the cops with his gold gloves, boxing knowledge. So we get the Sid interview, which always excites me whenever Sid does an interview. Because on these very predictable shows, anything can happen when Sid cuts a promo.
It's always a treat when we've got Sid off the chain with something like this.
But the purpose of this promo is that Sid and Ted DiBiase are not alone. They have with them their collection of lumberjacks. And it occurs to me at this point, if it wasn't abundantly clear already, that this is a very thin, very unfleshed out roster. Because this is not a rogues gallery. This is a who the hell are they gallery.
This is a vagues gallery. I mean, what I love is you've got the lumberjacks around the ring. Big Mantar gets a big shout out. Rad Radford gets a big shout out. Triple H is there. No mention of him.
So let me just run through, because I wrote everybody down here.
Yeah.
Let me just say, with all due respect to some genuine talents here, in terms of push and prestige, this is not a who's who. This is a who cares. IRS, Tatanka, Hogman, Henry Godwin, Jean-Pierre, PCO, Lafitte, the Harris Twins, Rad Lewis, Bacoli Radford, Mantar, Skip of the Body Donnas, Triple H, Jimmy Del Rey, no Tom Pritchard, although he was supposed to be a lumberjack, Men on a Mission, and Kama.
What happened to that wrestler? Someone main eventing that's got me lamenting. That's the third verse of What Happened to That Wrestler, surely.
Yeah.
There's some empty vessels in there, isn't there? And these are hand-picked by the Million Dollar Man. Hand-picked by the Million Dollar Man. The man who has more money than sense. Hand-picked these lumberjacks.
Adam, if you want me to write that video, I demand to be paid in advance.
What happened to every lumberjack from In Your House too?
The whole reason is then, who cares? I mean, move on. Ted and DiBiase, to his credit, he tries to make this roster look potable. He puts over like, what are you going to do when you try to run away? And Mantar gets his hoofs into you. And then Skip gets his hands on you. And Radford gets his hands on you. Like, DiBiase tries to make his men sound like killers. He's doing more than this company has to make them look like threats. But it's a losing battle.
It really is.
There's only so much Ted can do.
Bless him for trying, though.
Crowd chants for Diesel. Vince couldn't be happier. Vince could not be happier.
Oh, he's just delighted. He's delighted the chants are going the right way. He was nervous for a while. It's touch and go, this whole Diesel push thing.
Then Sid shouts a lot. I can't remember exactly what he said, but his voice cracks several times. Like a pubescent teenager.
He's going to be the master and the ruler of the world. He's going to be the WWF champion, providing there's not a softball game on.
And then he turns his head up to the camera like this, the chin pointed out. Big. And my God, does this man have nose hair? It's like an azalea bush in each nostril.
I feel like had that been filmed in 2021, and I put this down, somebody would have got at him with the nose clippers after the run through.
Of course. Hedge trimmer. Hold still. Hold still. Don't flinch. So, you mentioned earlier the budgetary cuts that have been running through the company at this point.
Yes.
We get something that feels like a total anachronism for 1995. A voiceover for Raw for 32X from Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yay!
Say, don't enjoy Alfred, or enjoy Alfred while you can, because he won't be here much longer.
Aww.
This is the end.
Does he not call it the 32XI?
Did he call it that?
I heard him say 32XI, and I wondered, like, was there a model of the 32X called the 32XI? And then I thought
maybe he was
makes sense.
Maybe he said 32XA, and he was mocking Canadians. That's a 32X, eh?
The only other thing, I mean, the Canadian bit aside, the only thing I can think of is that they put 32X exclamation mark, but he misread it as an I.
It could be
something as simple as that.
One take, Al.
You only get one take out of Alfred.
Well, that's it. I'm off to Mexico. All right, Al, we're ready to start recording. Al?
Too late, suckers.
We get the video from Action Zone of Barry Horowitz scoring his first ever victory in this company anyway.
Is that JR on the call for that?
It says, Horowitz wins! Horowitz wins! Pin skip with
that's
a three-quarter
there,
Nelson.
Up there, Horowitz wins, delivered with the same energy as Tyson and Austin. Tyson and Austin.
Hey, JR, on his game, could put anything
oh,
over.
God, yeah. God, yeah. When he's on, and this is why I get sad when I talk about him in AEW, because, like, when he's on, no one can touch him. He is Teflon JR. Like, he's impossible to beat. But, God, when he's not invested or tired or, let's be honest, a bit drunk, he's just not there. And it's so sad, like, to have somebody who is either the best in the business or a real detriment to it, in my opinion.
Well, he was on his game here, and Sonny was totally miffed when her man got beat by Barry freaking Horowitz, of all people.
Livid.
Yeah, so Skip's been here 2 months, and already he's dead in the water.
Oh, dear. But would they not argue that maybe this is more towards something a little bit bigger?
Well, you think they'd be building... I mean, the feud continues.
Yeah.
It will continue, but it's like he's been here for only 2 months. He hasn't even established yet. It's just whatever.
Mm.
We've seen one role match with him so far. Now, this next match is amazing for a multitude of reasons that I'm going to have to go into. Hunter Hearst Helmsley versus Matt Hardy.
Now, this is special. I mean, obviously, Hunter will have some lovely times with Matt's brother in ring in the time to come. But this was a bit of a history moment, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hunter wins this. Of course, if it was a Wednesday, Matt would have won. So, Vince wonders if Matt's thinking about a win. Well, I would hope so.
I like how, like, Barry Horowitz has, like, apparently, like, lit a fire under the jobber locker room. Like, hey, he beat an actual guy. Maybe we can beat an actual guy, too.
He's Jobber Rudy. He's inspirational. Barry.
He's John Valjob.
The man de la Jabba.
He's Fidel Cradle.
Job Quixote. So, this match becomes fascinating for the commentary. Forget the fact that we have Hunter versus Matt Hardy in 1995. I mean, which is incredible enough, given the fact that both men are still active to a high degree today in respective roles. But Vince talks about the internet audience in regards to the 1995 King of the Ring. It says, we heard you loud and clear regarding King of the Ring.
I don't think you did.
No. Holy shit, Vince acknowledged publicly that the show sucked and we understand that you're mad about it.
Is that what we were getting out of here?
Yes. That's what this was.
Oh.
I was like, what? Like, we get it. The show is terrible. That's on us. Like, I mean, he didn't say it in those words, obviously. But the whole, like, we heard you loud and clear is, wow.
But it was a vague enough statement that we know what he means, but it's vague enough that not everybody would know what it means.
Exactly. Read between the lines and, well, some people can.
Yeah.
It's here he notes that Tony has retired. Retired. Retired, budget cut, same thing. Matt works a long headlock. I gotta say, I've never noticed Hunter with this accessory before. he has a hair tie that is a scarf.
I've seen him with it once or twice. It's not something that sticks around for a long time, I don't think.
You should bring it back, even though he's down to a fade.
Just tie it around his bald head. Yes. Like people do with ties at the end of Christmas parties.
You should have done it last night for the In Your House spirit.
Do you know what? I think what would have been amazing for the In Your House spirit would have been Triple H to walk out as Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes, he should have
done
it.
Would that not have been amazing? I know he's been grumpy lately, but that would have cheered him up. Put a nice suit on, his old music played, just like nose up to the air, just walks out.
The old Fox Hunter pants.
Oh, it would have been brilliant. That would have been amazing. All would be forgiven if he did that.
For a little while.
Mm. Until the next time he goes into a media call and says it's all our fault for not enjoying the wrestling.
Yes. I mean, Bronson Reed could have been Mantar.
That's true.
He could have done so much with it when I had fun with it last night, but alas. So Hunter smacks Matt around. Matt misses a springboard moonsault because Matt was very aerodynamic, especially then. Mm. Still is now, actually. Pedigree finishes. I got to say, I like Hunter's double arm hook from back then where he just did both arms at the same time. Now he does the one, then the other. I could better just hook both at once.
Because back then, like, the move was kind of was designed to look in every sense more refined. So the symmetry of bringing the arms together at the same time and that simple motion. And now it's almost like part of the build-up is hooking the one arm, hooking the other arm, like pulling your head back.
About the drama of the telegraph.
Kane gets ready, gets his one knee ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to In Your House discussion because we have our In Your House 2 report.
Oh, I want to give a quick nod to Jerry Lawler who actually made me laugh at a line during commentary, and it's very rare, where he talked about it must have been Helen Hart or something. I can't remember the context, but he said difficult. Oh no, that was it, because Vince was talking about Jerry Lawler's crown. He said, "Oh, you probably wore that crown when you were born," and Jerry Lawler said, "Yeah, I did actually. I did. It made for quite a difficult birth." From my mother. And he said, difficult births normally use a C-section. My mom used the Heimlich maneuver.
That's quite a visual.
It's just an odd line. And it caught me off guard. I was like, that's quite funny, actually.
Once in a while, Lawler gets a great one in there.
Once every 5 years, he's there.
He's the Hillary's Comet of comedians.
Yeah. Look to the sky. And maybe in our lifetime, you'll see Jerry Lawler tell a palatable joke.
Well, here's the divide by zero of comedians, Todd Pettengill.
The Toddster! It's me, the Toddster. Hey!
That was too accurate.
It's me, the Toddster. Hey! I'm sad he didn't call himself the Toddster as he walked out on Sunday.
The mood is past.
Never.
He makes a horrible Grey Poupon joke, which was outdated even by agent standards. So, what to me is the best part of the show, Todd says, at the first In Your House, we give away a house. And who knows what's going to happen this time? I know what happens. You don't give away a house.
We're so wacky this time. Maybe we won't give away a house.
In your shanty, your kind of tool shed,
in your converted bungalow,
in your frigid air box.
Welcome to WWF In Your Microwave. Who wants themselves a brand new Zanussi?
in your Barbie dream house.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That we stole from a flea market.
In your coupon for Burger King.
So we run down the cards. Diesel and Sid. Diesel will have his lumberjacks next week. I'll bet they're all baby faces.
Oh, I'd love it if he'd hide a heel just to mix it up.
You look over at his lumberjacks and there's Tom Pritchard. Tom goes, "Oh, Sid doesn't sell." Sean versus Jarrett. Jarrett's going to sing on the show also.
Big night for Jarrett at In Your House. Yeah.
Well, it's in Nashville, so this is going to be his magnum opus. Intercontinental title match with Shawn Michaels. and he's going to sing. Allied Powers versus Onan Yoko for the tag belts. Razor and Sabia versus Mom. Bigelow versus the Hogman. No mention of Kid and Rhodey for some reason.
They're going to be there, though, right? Aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of video packages in this bit to spell out the stories. Like, a lot of video packages.
It's all...
Because we are...
It's all padded, isn't it?
We are stretching. It's like the shoulders of Vince's suits padded.
But that's the In Your House 2 card. I can reveal today that in 2 weeks' time, Justin Henry and myself will be doing an In Your House 2 watch-along, and we'll be joined by somebody making their very first appearance on the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. You've heard him on the news podcast, and if you have TikTok, you've seen him everywhere. Professor Nick Harrison has made a massive name for himself on TikTok by doing wrestlers' entrances. Guys like Batista and Triple H have seen them and retweeted them, fallen in love with them. The world loves Professor Nick Harrison, and the best part is he's a real-life professor, and he's currently out of, you know, school's out for summer. So he's agreed in a few weeks' time to watch In Your House 2 with us as a special treat. And I know, Justin, you might not be familiar with the work, and I know you're putting all your faith in me booking this guest, but I promise you, Nick Harrison's going to be, he's going to bring the goods. I can't wait for you and Nick Harrison to become friends. I'm so excited to have Nick Harrison on here. It's going to be so good. If you want to find out all about him and who he is, you can find him on TikTok if you look up Professor Nick Harrison, or find Mr. Professor 318 on Twitter as well. He's a lovely, lovely man, and he'll be our friend soon.
I trust your judgment on this one. I'm sure he'll be a great guest and look forward to having him on.
He was on the bump as well recently. That's the other thing I was going to mention. He was on the bump recently because he's been doing these entrances, and he was on WWE television shouting about them.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You're social climbing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want some of Mr. Harrison's clout.
You know, the more releases WWE has, you know, the more they'll meet your price.
Yeah. Suddenly, Desert Island Graps isn't that low down the totem pole for you now, is it, Braun Strowman?
There'll be a treat. I'll be doing this show with Corey Graves in about a month.
He won't have the same banter.
No, he'll be defending everything. Nah, I kid. So at the end of this bit, we had Vince talking about, you know, catering was bad when we heard you. For the first acknowledgement of the internet audience, Todd reminds us that WWF is the innovator of pay-per-view entertainment and forcibly lets us know that.
What does that mean? Like,
please don't buy Bash at the Beach. Please don't buy Bash at the Beach. Please don't buy Bash at the Beach. No, I'm saving my money for the Collision in Korea when it airs in about a month.
It's a real uphill climb for him at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
If you think that was weird, wait till the next match when we get some really fascinating commentary.
I've written some notes on this. But we'll get to it when we get to it, because, yeah, it's worth talking about.
So next week is Sean versus IRS in a rather interesting match, actually. That didn't happen often. So here we are, Allied Powers versus Hogman and Tatanka.
Godwin gets the Million Dollar Corporation entrance. Is he in the team now?
He's a peripheral member.
Right, okay. He's a B-teamer.
He's like when Kane hung out with DX in 1999. Same thing.
Same energy all the way through.
Hey, Burn Man!
You don't need that mask to speak. Come on. I like pigs. Yay!
Oh, my God.
What a moment.
So the heels jump before the bell. Allied Powers get the advantage. Luger falls awkwardly when set into the buckles. I should probably just copy and paste that into every Luger match until the end of time, really. So Luger plays face in peril. The very English British Bulldog rallies the crowd to chant USA as they face two Americans.
Weirdly, the team they're chanting USA for is less American than the team that they're facing.
Yes.
Just a thought.
I mean, maybe we're chanting for the network, so like, don't cancel us, please. So, this is when things get weird. Vince mentions then-President Bill Clinton speaking out against violence in television, which in Shreve McMahon at this time had hired someone to basically be a lobbyist for the company to basically help sanitize the company's image so that their syndication wouldn't get pushed down to late night time slots. Because that was a very big issue at the time. Because it was more Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife, who was the big champion of decency in media. She fought against rap music. So this was a big thing in the mid-90s, in the era of trashy talk shows and violent video games and obscenity-filled music. So this is wrestling got lumped in there with, you know, violent television that could be impressionable upon children. So there's this big push that really cleaned the WWF up to make sure that they didn't fall victim to any of this stuff. So Vince lets us know that the WWF is the standard in family entertainment and should not be confused, and this is a direct quote, with the undisciplined genre of professional wrestling in general.
I had to rewind that several times because I couldn't quite figure out what Vince was saying, because he was saying it whilst the match was in progress and whilst there was a big comeback spot happening. So like his tone is constantly changing and he's pausing at weird places. So I couldn't make out the point that he was saying. I thought he said something about Bill Clinton and something about standards and practices within wrestling. And it was just Vince just trying to get one over on everyone else and just saying how brilliant we are, but trying to shoehorn it in the worst possible place. You know, it's like trying to ask somebody to give you a job whilst they're unpacking the car. Like they're clearly busy, but you're trying to get in what you need to get in. It was that, essentially.
It was just like, why would the audience care about that? Honestly, like you're not trying to like impress upon them that, you know, it's like, you know,
I wonder whether it was more for USA Network's benefit.
Maybe, but it's just a very, like, I mean, I'm not invested in this match, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. And even when I was 11 years old, I was probably not invested in this match. So it's just like, who in the audience is this really for? Like, is this Vince's way of trying to say, like, we're the good company, not them other wrestling companies that have programmed like WCW and ECW and whoever else you may be watching on your C-band satellite? It was so out of nowhere, and he had to mention Bill Clinton just to segue into this. So he's
shoehorning it.
Evil Knievel would make this jump. So Luger this whole time has been facing peril. He's been getting his ass beat by Tatanka and Hogman. I'm just going to call him Hogman from now on.
Hogman.
If Bulldog were still with us today, he should be like the naming guy in NXT.
Oh, I like him. Call him Hogman.
Bronson Reed be big lad.
He's big lad. Bronson Reed's big lad. Was this MSK? Flippy lad. Flying lads. Fly lads. Dynamic duo. They're the dynamic duo. Who else is this guy? Karrion Kross. Oh, Angry Man. Angry Man. Angry Man. you wear sunglasses, you're cool, man.
I want an Angry Man dinner, like a Hungry Man dinner, but it's for Angry Man.
John, what would an Angry Man dinner look like?
Everything's burnt or stale. Got shoot through.
Bulldog. Angry Man has got his wife Scarlet with him as his manager. What should we call her? Fitbird. Angry Man and Fitbird, and you're facing Irish lad. You're facing old Paddy lad over there.
Oh, let's face it, none of them is called Hogman.
No, Hogman is a different level. Hogman's a different level. I wish they'd hired Bulldog for creative, because I think it would have been... Right, I tell you what we do for the NXT title. Angry Man, Cool Man, Irish Boy, and me. And I win. And I'll be the NXT champion. That'll be fine. It's a good booking, that. They'll like that. That'll get over.
I can't lose because I'm bizarre.
I can't lose because I'm bizarre.
So Luger makes the mild tag to Davey. Not the hot tag, it's just the mild tag.
And the crowd go the mild.
It's the tepid tag. We get this wonderfully awkward moment where Bulldog sends Tatanka into the corner. Tatanka's supposed to do the up and over support and catch him for a power slam attempt.
Yep.
It doesn't go well. This was not coordinated whatsoever.
Fell on his ass.
They kind of fall back. Tatanka goes for a pinfall attempt out of it.
They're so clumsy.
I wrote my notes, Jesus, but I don't think he has anything to do with this match. Bulldog proceeds to invent the jackhammer by accident.
You see what I did out there?
It's like when Homer invented the flaming moe by accident. Bulldog goes for his delayed suplex, but ends up getting bowled over and just falls on top of the Tatanka. Hey, it's a move.
We should give that to, what's his lad in WCW? What do we call him? Goatee Man. Give it to Goatee Man. Goatee gloves. Goatee gloves.
Stone Cold with the shoulders.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Steve Austin. Better than Steve Austin. Steve Austin is your name now.
Yeah. Hogman was late on the save, so we had another awkward moment here. Look, this is clearly hour three of a TV tape.
They are done.
These four were pulled away from a fucking pinochle game. Like, oh, we still got to do this match. So Bulldog pulls the Tatanka off at the top of the power slam. That's the finish. Luger got no offense himself in this match. So much for Hogman being the prize acquisition. So that should be it, because that was our main event. And we run down next week. Owen and Yoko will be in action. Diesel interview. Lafitte's in action. Sean versus IRS. IRS is making a Robert De Niro face in his render. But then we get one more thing. Another visit to the offices. Oh. Dr. Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Yes.
So this is weird because Lawler's sitting in the supportive parent's chair. while Yankum is working over this young woman. So there's no dental assistant. It's just Yankum, Lawler, and this person. All right. The Lawler rhapsodizes about Brett getting beaten by Yankum. What that's going to be like when Yankum gets in the ring and destroys the Hitman. You know, Yankum is just his aggressive dentistry where he's not really like showing any care for vision. Like, open up and stick something else in her mouth and just works her over. So the tension's building now. And Lawler asked Lawler's girl if she watches wrestling, like, who are your favorites? She likes Diesel and she likes Razor. Says, oh, and Bret Hart. Well, that was the turning point, because Yankum pulls out what's supposed to be a drill, but it's not a drill. It's like this light thing that I don't know what the tool is, but sure as hell ain't a drill. Just open wide and jams it right in her mouth, and presumably he's drilling out all her teeth for daring to like the Hitman.
I mean, that's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit there. That would...
Certainly.
That's not going to go well for anybody. He's getting struck off at this rate.
It might hurt his political career down the line.
I wonder whether anyone's gone, do you want this man running your city?
He didn't even have a dental license.
That's not even a drill. That's a stud man.
How does Adam Cole put up with him?
Yeah, someone's got mixed up. They went, oh, yeah, Adam Cole's married to the dentist one. Okay.
Is there any Lawler's rebel?
Yes, I think he is. Has he got a name yet? Yeah, he's Isaac Yankum Bulldog. Oh, it's all right then, no worries. I was just...
Toothy Boy.
God, I was going to call him Toothy Boy. Isn't that right, King Man?
Crown boy.
Bulldog naming people.
We can't top Hogman though. That's just too good.
Oh no, but he'll spend the rest of his time trying. Where's Bin Man?
there's the hog symbol in the sky. It's just a silhouette of a ham. Hogman.
He's not the hero they need, but he's the hero they deserve.
His cape is that wax paper they used to wrap meat.
Oh, it's going to get so greasy. He shoots sausage links out of his hand. John!
He has the Bigelow gauntlet that shoots fire, but shoots out pulled pork.
John, what would Hogman look like? In a 32-page comic book special.
He has an origin story.
Yes.
There was a slaughterhouse accident, and he came out the other side. He was Hogman.
He just got bit by a radioactive pig.
Radioactive pig.
How did it get radioactive? We'll never know.
He does the upside-down Spider-Man kiss, but instead of a kiss, he has a giant sausage like hanging out of his mouth, and they both eat it together.
Oh,
like,
that's so romantic.
You're like Lady and the Tramp.
Can we call him Sausage Man? No, we've called him Hogman, Davey. Oh, all right.
Stand back. There's the Hogman coming through. The Hogacane. Well, that's all I've got for this show.
That's all for this week. Yay!
We can pad too.
Yeah, we're good at that. See, that's nearly a normal time for a show. Like a decent enough cheap wine. It was smooth enough, but it didn't leave the nicest of taste at the end.
No. Not quite.
We're 2 weeks away from In Your House too. As we said, a watch along with us. We'll be coming in 2 weeks' time, but we're back next week and we'll do it all again. Justin's having a little bit of time off next week, aren't you, sir? You have a nice little break?
Yeah, a little vacation. I'm in the midst of working on season 2 of Behind the Match. I'm taking a little break from Cultaholic in general, a little vacay, and then come back recharged and I'll do the rest of that.
You've got to reset from wrestling stuff sometimes, haven't you?
Yeah.
You really have.
Absolutely. It's especially just watching Dave on Twitter just have at everyone who tries giving contradictory information or argues with him, and Dave just puts them in their place really quickly. So I'm at Dave Jitsu.
Dave. But sometimes Dave's too quick and he speaks too fast. Like every Eurovision, it comes round where somebody will share the tweet where they said, "Hey, Dave, I'm at the Eurovision. I'll send you the results." And he's like, "Oh, that'd be great. Cheers." Oh, Dave.
It has its drawbacks.
It does. I hope Dave has some time off from it, though. Like, I hope Dave, like, blocks out, like, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. to respond to trolls, and then he goes and has, like, some chicken nuggets or something. Just has a little break.
I don't think Dave sleeps, like laying down. I think he put, like, a blanket over his head like a bird, and he just falls asleep.
He's got a little nest in his office.
He doesn't sleep. He waits.
Oh, I like the idea of a little blanket being put down for him next to his desk. And he listens. What would Dave listen to as he was going to sleep? Enya. A self-help tape.
The Four Pillars theme songs.
Just on loop. I think he listens to Mongolian throat singing as he goes to sleep.
Or Chono's old song with the hard driving guitars, like, this is peaceful.
Time to get my 180 minutes of slumber, for the news will come tomorrow.
Instead of Goodnight Moon, it's Goodnight June about Jun Akiyama.
As he looks up.
Goodnight Misawa. Good night, Kobashi.
How was your sleep, Dave? It was 3 stars.
It was, well, I slept, so I wasn't awake to see it.
Oh, Dave.
I slept like 3 days straight. Okay, so it wasn't actually like 3 days straight, but it felt like it.
Dave, what have you been doing for those last 3 days, Dave? Just saying this sentence. I made the comment on the podcast, and I stand by it, and I love Dave, but Dave talks like jazz happens. just sort of riffing, just trying to find a beat that he can groove to.
I love Dave too.
God, love him.
We just have our fun.
We do. He's a national treasure, and he should be protected at all costs.
Absolutely.
And with that in mind, he is at JRH Writing on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together. We are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Good night, June. Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.